All righty, AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time, you ask, we answer.
Ask Me Anything, brought to you by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com. Philly rides with us.
All right, you ask, we answer, except for question one, which I ask and everyone else answers. All right, did you guys see who signed yesterday in the National Football League? All right, Rhea saw, I hear from the chuckle. James, did you see?
No, I didn't.
Devin, did you see?
No, I have no idea.
John Ritchie, sir, did you see?
I don't think so.
I'm going to give you a hint. All right, Rhea, stay at us for 1 second. I'm going to give these three a hint. This person signed at the age of 42.
42?
Cam Newton.
Oh, I did see. Now I'm remembering. I saw. I'll stay out.
Right,
I saw
right,
it.
So
I saw
now,
it.
James,
I did see it.
Right.
Now I remember. My bad.
A 42-year-old offensive lineman, formerly of the Philadelphia Eagles. He's back!
For whom?
Jason Peters has
Jason
signed.
Peters. Bless his heart.
He's still around? I couldn't believe it, Joe.
He's delaying the Hall of Fame induction.
Where did he sign?
Seattle. Practice squad. Yeah.
Wow.
He is really trying to hang on.
He does not want to let go of that. If somebody is still willing to give him money at this point, I find it amusing.
It's incredible.
Hey, respect to him, man. You only got a small window to for your highest earning potential when you're a football player. Get every dollar you can.
Was
good for him.
5 years ago, he was
good for him. Someone's willing to give him a check.
All right, James, what questions we got?
All right, Rich, this one's for you from WIP Memes on Twitter. WIP Memes asks, how long has Richie been playing guitar, and can we expect a song with the bye week to maybe lighten the mood around the 2-2 start?
I've been playing guitar, I guess like 1980s, the mid-80s. I played saxophone. When I was a little kid, MTV was a huge part of my life. Watched it when I wasn't outside playing Kill the Guy Who Has the Football.
Mm-hmm.
I was outside playing that or watching videos. Clarence Clemens of the E Street Band playing the tenor saxophone was like my hero on the videos. I wanted to be like him. I begged my mom if I could play saxophone as a third grade kid. The problem was you had to wait till fifth grade. So my mom, who was a teacher, she was like, well, you know, he's big enough. His hands are big enough. My mom rented a saxophone for, I think it was $6 a month.
Wow.
And got me in like ahead of time because I wanted so badly to play sax. She accelerated my musicality.
I love it. Well, look.
But I didn't start playing guitar until seventh grade.
If we could get a song, you know, just think about that. Maybe a Philly song, Eagles song. Eagles would be depressing. Phillies would be, you know, not, hopefully. All right, Seltzer, what do we got here?
All right, this one's for you, Joe. GoBirds86 asks, what's your favorite underrated Phillies playoff moment?
Holy mackerel. All right, so I'm going to give you two, because one I saw and one I didn't see. But there's one I think is the most underrated moment maybe in Philly sports history. So the one I saw I think there's...
Philly sports history?
Maybe.
Come on.
Maybe. All right, so the one I saw that's totally underrated... Two batters before Matt Stairs hit a home run to take the lead.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Shane Victorino hit a home run to tie the game. Phillies were 5 outs away from being 2-2 in the NLCS. It was scary. I remember watching it. I remember vividly watching it. They were very close to being 2-2, but Shane ties it, and then Matt Stairs takes the lead. People rarely talk about Shane's homer. The other one that, like, never gets discussed, and I will never understand why. I was 2 years old, so I don't remember watching it. People old enough may remember this, but many may not. So we all know the Phillies won the World Series in 6 games in 80. We know they were up 2-0. People might not know it was 2-2. What a lot of people either don't remember and it never or forgot, they were down going into the 9th inning of Game 5. Down. Losing. They were 3 outs away from being in a 3-2 hole in the World Series. They were on the road against Dan Quisenberry in Kansas City. Schmitty gets on base, couple hits, huge hit by Del Unser. Couple minutes later, Phillies have the lead. Next game, they win the World Series. Nobody talks about that. I never understand why. No one ever references it. Anyway, I find it possible it's the most underrated moment in Philly sports history. Seltzer, did you know that?
Oh, yeah, the Del Unser hit, yeah.
Did you know they were losing going into that?
I knew they were losing going into
that. Did you know they were losing?
But to your point, it never gets mentioned. Ever, 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 ever gets mentioned.
Never.
I watched every... any of that with my mom. It's one of my favorite memories. And, you know, if you think I'm a lunatic when I'm watching games, I come by it honestly.
There you go. All right, Seltzer, let's do one more.
All right, it's from the text line. What is the most important quality you look for in a friend?
Trustworthiness.
Jeez.
Trustworthiness.
This is so huge.
Gotta have that.
As a parent, like, what you look for is friends. Like, finding great friends is the most important thing you're looking for your children. There's no question. And character, integrity in those kids.
Ooh, those are good words.
Good answer. Yeah. Ooh.
Integrity. Honesty.
Ooh.
Family. You love, you know, a great family.
Integrity is pretty good.
Yeah, we got to pick one.
Trustworthiness is part of that.
Yeah, I think integrity is a bigger thing.
I
think it encompasses trustworthiness.
Like,
yeah, good work.
Good
John.
Word, Seltzer. I mean, John. And with that, AMA, we shut it down. All right. So we're trying to assess today what we got with this football team this year. I mean, we know they're 2-2. We know it's been up and down. But you know, what do you think we have here? Plus the Phils. Let's start cranking up the Red October coverage here. The Phillies play in three days. By the way, a bunch of teams played yesterday, eight of them. And notable that in the last 2 years, the team that has lost game one in this round has lost the series all eight times.
That's a pretty notable.
So, like,
stat.
The Mets having won yesterday are in pretty good shape. The Braves having lost yesterday are in pretty bad shape. And, James, the Phillies will play the Mets if the Mets win, correct?
Mets Brewers winner no matter what happens. Because they don't reseed in Major League Baseball.
Man, I'm telling you guys, Saturday it's going to be a lot of New Yorkers ballpark.
Man,
I'm telling you.
I know.
Devin, it is.
Well, it is, but it's not going to be. You said 13,000 or
something. I said 5 to 13,000.
I said 5 is realistic.
That's
I think 13 is large. I mean, that's a 13,000 is a quarter of the. It's
the
more than a quarter of the stadium would be Mets fans. You think it's going to be more than a quarter?
I'll say this. Wells Fargo.
But
which holds
very different thing, dude.
Yeah, that was different.
20,000, I would say. It was a third.
But that's a completely different thing. That was Knicks
fans.
Because the Knicks had not been in the playoffs in forever. The Mets were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Oh, come on.
But they were. They were in whole playoff games 2 years ago. Regardless, the Knicks hadn't been in the playoffs since, like, forever. Good. Not to mention the fact that the Sixers fans weren't as invested in that team as Phillies fans are in this team.
Devin, give me your rolling.
I mean, I think what could help Phillies fans in this situation is I'm pretty sure that the lottery for tickets has already started, where the Mets don't even know if they're going to advance. So it might be hard for Mets fans to get tickets unless they buy them secondhand. So if you're a Phillies fan and you have tickets and you're going to sell them, please don't sell them to a New York fan.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Mets fan, you're right.
That was the issue with the Sixers.
Mets fans would have to move quick. Like Thursday night, Friday night, they'd have to move fast in order to get, but it's doable. It's not that far away.
My point is, I think more Philly fans want to go to Phillies playoff games than want to go to Sixers playoff games. Like, I don't even think it's in the same hemisphere.
I agree, but people sell tickets.
And before you think about selling them, this is to parents out there. These are both 4 o'clock starts.
It's we know that?
Oh, yeah.
That
was announced yesterday. Both Saturday and Sunday.
You don't listen to my updates, Joe?
No.
Come on, Joe.
Every once in a while, I got to go to the bathroom. Yeah?
No, so I'm
going to step away for a moment, literally to go to the bathroom.
It's perfect. I mean, you get those kids in. You got like a 10 to a 15-year-old. You can grab them for life as a baseball
fan. Yeah, you can.
In that ballpark.
Unless the Phillies lose.
Well, I didn't, you know, why do you got to go there? Why you got to go there?
All right, 215-592-9494. All right, coming up an awful lot. Conklin, you ready for this, John? As Cougar. And I'm not talking Cougar from Top Gun. Hmm? Conklin as Cougar. Think about it. We'll get to that. We'll also get to parts of what Sirianni said yesterday to us when we had him on the show. Darius Slay with an apology. Spencer Turnbull with a declaration. All right, Joe to camera, John Ritchie. All right, big segment here. I mean, real big. So Sirianni, what he said to us yesterday, you're going to hear it. Ross Tucker, Cougar Conklin. We'll get to that shortly and a lot more. Also, how about this news yesterday? Man, this came out of nowhere. Spencer Turnbull is an option for the Phillies in October.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Devin, you were there yesterday. Matter of fact, real quick, let's hear first from Dave Dombrowski, and then, Devin, we'll get your sense because I know you're covering the Phillies for us this month. Here's Dombrowski yesterday. Excuse me, not Dombrowski. My fault. Here's Turnbull yesterday. Here's Spencer Turnbull yesterday talking about how he's going to pitch today in this simulated game. By the way, a portion of this, you're going to hear someone talking near him. It's like two people talking at the same time. It's a little irritating. But Spencer Turnbull, out of nowhere, suddenly an option.
Kind of just in the nick of time. Me and my time management skills kind of seems to be par for the course. But, Better late than never, you know? Just put it on the tombstone, we'll be good.
It's a kind of work out for you that it's an actual sim game tomorrow.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
You have like that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy to like face that and actually have like fielders out there, right, and stuff. And they said something about having umpires and stuff too. So it's just a little bit more of a realistic feel. Obviously, we won't have 40,000 people here, but it's closer than a live BP, you know, Clearwater. So it'll be nice. And it's not a million degrees outside.
All right. So that's cool. Now I'll say this. Here's the thing. It's probably not going to matter that much because he's still going to probably only pitch if they're in a spot, like a starting pitcher doesn't go long. You know, like
he might not be on the roster. We'll see.
He may not.
Yeah.
He may not. All right, Devin, you were down there yesterday. Dombrowski talking, Turnbull talking.
Yeah.
Give us the vibe. And, of course, they're getting ready for this simulated game today. Give us the vibe of what stood out to you yesterday.
Yeah, so Turnbull being back was big. But like you just mentioned, I mean, we don't even know if he's definitely going to make the playoff roster. I think they're going to check him out in today's simulated game. But even if he does come in you know, a bullpen spot, that's a big spot to ask for someone who hasn't pitched an MLB game since what, end of June.
And they may need to stretch him out. I'll say this, there's an argument that maybe he doesn't be on the playoff roster the first round they play, but maybe they stretch him more in other simulated games, and then he's ready to go in deeper into the playoffs.
Yeah. And the sense I got from today's simulated game that they're going to play no crowd, but they're going to pump in fake crowd noise. The players are having fun with it. I don't believe most of the starting rotation is going to pitch in today's game. Ranger might and Sanchez might, but his wife just had a baby like literally 2 days ago, so I don't even know if he's there. But Nola is not going to pitch whatsoever throughout this break.
Wow.
But Dombrowski, I mean, the overall messaging I took away from him.
Interesting, though, that Ranger.
That makes you think that Nola is going
to
be the number two, right?
Yeah.
If you had to think about it.
Well, yeah. I think it also depends on personal preference. Like, Wheeler likes to go 5 or 6 days off. Nola, I think, wants this extended break. Ranger, I think, has stuff to work on, so he wants to go for a little bit today.
The Ranger thing, what's the current update on that? Like, is major work.
Can I tell you the
Who
update?
Knows
he doesn't get to pitch until the NLCS if they get there. Like, maybe he's bullpen guy in this round coming up, but you can't start him.
They're planning, I believe, if they have to start him, that's the plan.
But so help me out on this. Is it game four? Are they back to Wheeler, or does it have to be Ranger game four of the NLDS as the days off breakdown?
Let me look at how the days
break down. Because that is critical.
Let me look real quick. So game four, I think they're going to have to use a four starter.
Yeah,
because it's Saturday, Sunday. Game four is Tuesday. Or game four is Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a four starter.
That's a four starter. Unless they want to go Wheeler. I mean, if you're down 2-1, you probably go Wheeler. But that's a whole separate story.
That's okay. So maybe Ranger is game four of this round coming up.
Yeah. But
I just think you have to have a super tight leash.
Guys, he hasn't been good since it feels like prior to June.
You have to go in assuming it's essentially a bullpen game. Like, if you're going to make, I mean, you
one
have to
one of those nine out starts.
Yeah, like Ranger, maybe you can get, I mean, you can't let Ranger go through the lineup twice. Like, that's a non-starter. So, like, you hope he can get through two and a half, something like that.
Kind of like what he's been in the last couple of playoffs.
Yeah, similar.
All right, fascinating. Let's go to the phone. So, that's a taste of the Phillies thing. We'll cover it more as we go. I mean, they got some big decisions to make. Sirianni, some of what he said to us yesterday, we're going to get to that shortly. Paul and Downingtown right now. What's up, Paul?
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey, Paul.
So, Joe, I think you have a little soft spot for Howie Roseman. And I think if you look at him with the same critical eye that you look at Jalen Hurts, I think you might find that there are so many shortcomings on this team. I mean, face it.
Well, there are. Well, to be clear, I've acknowledged that. This team, I've acknowledged that. Big picture, I think Howie's still a great GM, but he messed up 37 different ways on this team. But go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he certainly has. And I think that a GM, if you look at him really critically, especially, you know, post-Super Bowl season, the GM makes so many decisions, you know, for the team. That, you know, I think it's entirely possible that you have a defensible argument that, you know, you make so many decisions that even a broken GM is right twice a day. And, you know, when you look at the dearth of success or some of the organizational failures, like across the board, it's really difficult, you know, to come away from thinking that, you know, a lot of the defense for Howie is cherry picked, you know, but, you know, that's, you know, irrespective of that, what I'm really excited for are the Phillies. And, one of the reasons that I'm excited for the Phillies is I think we're winning the World Series this year. I have all the confidence in the world. And the other thing I love about it is I think we're beating three of the nastiest teams with the nastiest fan bases to do it. You know, I think we're taking all five games, but we're going to kick those stinking Mets and those lousy fans to the curb, you know, and then we're going to get those freaking Dodgers, and we're going to beat them in five. We're going to kick those jerks to the curb, and then we're going to get the GD Yankees, the lousiest, stinkingest fans in all of baseball, and we're going to kick them to the curb, and we're going to have a parade on Broad Street around Halloween, and we're going to be the happiest people in all the world, and screw everybody else.
All right. Paul, that was great, Mike.
Baseball to win the World Championship, and we knock two ugly New York teams and the Los Angeles Dodgers to the curb to do it, and screw everybody else.
All right, Paul, you might have just won drop of the week. That's good work by you. Give me a scene in a movie with only one person in it. Give me a great one.
127 hours, this hiker, Aaron Walton, yeah, or something sure. like that. He had to cut his own arm off because he got trapped
James
by a rock.
Franco.
He's been there for like 5 days.
So what's the scene?
The whole movie? He cuts his own arm off.
He can't tell you no, the scene is not the whole
movie. When he cuts his arm off is what he just said.
Okay, fine. When he cut, I mean, it sounds, what's the scene? The whole movie.
I was just saying the whole movie is him. It could be any scene was my point.
Well, I have not seen that movie.
No.
I cannot imagine seeing that movie.
Would you do that?
Would I cut my arm off to survive?
Do you think you could? Like, I've thought about this. I think I would just die. Like, I honestly don't think I could cut my own arm off.
That's one of those things. I thought about this.
I think I would just die.
You have to, James.
I actually have thought
die.
About this. I okay. would. I think you would. I think
I would die.
Do it, man.
Can I just
think
so?
You would do it. You would think you about your daughter. You would think about your wife, and you would do it. But man, can you imagine being at that point?
You have to do it, James. If there's a grizzly bear 1,000 yards from you, and you see it coming at you, like, you're going to get moving. You're going to do what you got to do to give yourself a chance.
You absolutely would do what you have to do.
I think you guys would give me a lot more.
Yeah, that's true. A dog.
By the way, you did. And I want to just say this. I thought it was implausible that Rose was able to detach that handcuff from Jack in Titanic. Okay? I just want to put that out there. When she grabs,
so similar to cutting
when she grabs the axe.
Exact same thing,
because
right?
otherwise he might have to cut off his arm. And Devin, somehow she takes an axe, and like, bang!
Are you saying that you don't think she would have this skill?
I'm saying James Cameron had some creative license with that
scene. You doubt her axe skills?
A little bit.
He had to add some more dramatics.
Jeremiah Trotter, the axe man. Kate Winslet, the axe lady.
Why did she bother when she was just going to let him die at the end of the
That's so good point.
That is a great point. Let's get to Darnell right now. Darnell, good morning.
Hey, let me get you off speaker. How's it going?
Going well,
what's up, buddy?
Joe, the hammer, full of himself, the camera.
Oh, Darnell.
Wow.
Hold on, man. That's not nice.
What you talking about, Willis?
Okay, good. I'll take a tease.
There is truth in all jest, though, Darnell. So Joe, full of himself, the camera, is the bottom line. That is an interesting nickname.
Darnell, speaking of nicknames, wait till you hear Joe Cougar Conklin coming up in a couple minutes. It's pretty good.
Man.
Joe Cougar Conklin.
Wow. Hey, you guys have been doing a great, great job. It's been a while since I called in, but you've been holding it down since Angelo retired, man. I commend you guys.
Thank you.
You guys are really holding it down. So I just wanted to talk some Eagles, man. Everybody's panicking, but Ike Lee said it best earlier in the season when they were looking at the schedule. He said the first four games, he thought that the Eagles would probably wind up being 2-2. And he was right. You know, we lost, we won, we lost, and it is what it is, you know. One thing that I think the problem is Jalen Hurts. I think he's trying to do too much. Take what the defense gives you, and you don't have to try to make something happen. Just take what's there. You know, he's holding the ball a little too long, and, of course, the turnovers. But, you know, the last game, him getting sacked that many times, it was awful. But a lot of that had to do with Lane Johnson not being out there.
Some of it did. That's for sure. He is holding. I'm going to get to that one second. I did see a stat yesterday. He's 32nd in the NFL for time before he releases the football. That's
it's painful.
That's not good.
Watching
it.
And that's a lot of what Carson did.
Yep.
And if you remember, people were down on the O-line that year, and the O-line that year was worse than it had been. But
so
much of that was on Carson. Listen, he's got to read it and rip it. He's got to get the ball out.
Absolutely.
Hey, Darnell, real quick, before you give me your answer to a scene with one person, I'm going to say the same thing to you I told a caller yesterday. That we don't hear from much. You're a great caller, and I need you to call our show more often. You're a great caller, man.
I definitely will, man.
All right, give me your answer. A scene with only one person in it.
this has got to be the scene of the century when Tom Hanks was playing the FedEx flight, the pilot. The scene when he was on the raft with the soccer ball, Wilson.
So you're saying the scene where he's trying to get away?
I think when he's losing, when Wilson's getting away, right?
When Wilson's getting away.
When Wilson's getting away. Yeah.
Okay, that's a good answer, Darnell. Ooh, good phone call, man.
I thought he was going a different direction.
Well, I think there are better answers from that movie.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
I mean, right in front of your face.
Yeah, but listen, that movie has almost every scene by himself.
Very true.
Almost every scene. Hey, by the way, we will not be by ourselves tomorrow. We hope to be with you because we're going to be at Chickies and Pete's. It's a Red October rally tomorrow at the South Philly Chickies and Pete's, 1526 Packer Avenue. It's a 13.5-hour WIP broadcast. Our show being just four of those 13.5 hours from 6 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. We broadcast celebrating the return of Red October. We're going to have a station announcement at 8:40. And we're also going to have Rob Thompson on the program at 8 o'clock. A lot of guests mix in throughout the day. Should be quite a day as we get closer and closer. And, guys, we are not far from Red October. I mean, we're technically in it. It is October. But we're not far from the start of the playoffs. Speaking of the playoffs, Phil's have some really key decisions to make in the postseason. And we're going to drill down on three of them brought to you by Armin Chevrolet. Proud to again be Pennsylvania's number one Chevrolet EV dealer. Now in stock, the Equinox, Blazer, and Silverado EVs together. Let's drive, ArminChevy.com. So three decisions they got to make. They're not the only ones, but they're three of the biggest ones. Who should start game two of the NLDS? Aaron Nola or Christopher Sanchez? Now, John, I go Nola. Your instincts are what?
Nola. The experience matters to me.
Devin, Nola or Sanchez? I know we don't know the team they will face yet, so that could play a part. I tend to think it won't, honestly. Mm-hmm. Nola or Sanchez, who would you choose?
Who would I choose? Probably Sanchez, given that his record at home is great, but it's going to be Nola, I would guess.
James, who would you choose?
I would choose Nola.
Rhea?
Sanchez, just because Nola has such a calm demeanor. He can pitch anywhere if he's on. I mean, that's we never know sometimes with him. But Sanchez has very limited playoff experience. And so starting him on the road when, what is he giving up, like three more runs, it just makes me nervous.
You put Sanchez in position to start more in the postseason than Nola if he gets the first start.
And
that I don't like that because I think Nola's better. But listen, Sanchez,
that's my main reason for starting Nola. And for what it's worth, Nola's better at home too. Like just looking at the numbers, I mean, pretty substantially better at home. Okay. I mean, he's given up a 654 OPS at home and a 783 OPS on the road. Okay. It's over 100 points higher on the road. Yep. So,
all right, second poll question, because these are all juicy topics. Second question, who should the starting second baseman be against a left-handed starting pitcher? Edmundo Sosa, who's gotten it the most this year, or Bryson Stott, who got it last year? I go Sosa.
100%.
But I don't love it, but I go Sosa. James?
I would go Sosa. It's not much of a question for me. Stott has not hit yet this year. Okay. Like, we've been
waiting all year.
He has not hit.
Yeah. All right, Devin?
Stott, because of his defense.
John?
This crushes me because I love Bryson Stott. But for whatever reason, this has been such a down year. And he hasn't performed well enough to justify playing him against left-handers. It needs to be Edmundo until further notice.
Okay. By the way, you can weigh in on these questions because these are big ones. 215-592-9494. Here's the final poll question. This one makes me sick. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited for the Phillies. I'm not excited for this problem. Question three. Who should start in center field against a left-handed starting pitcher? Here are your choices. A, Brandon Marsh, who can't hit lefties. B, Johan Rojas, who can't hit anyone. I go, and it makes me sick. I go Rojas.
Yeah.
But I know that if it's like a game or two and he's still not hitting, then maybe by like game three, meaning the third time against the lefty, I give that start to Marsh. But I start the playoffs with Rojas against a lefty, but it makes me sick.
Man, I've seen so many issues with Rojas where I thought once upon a time that he could make every play that needed making in center field and I would just grin and bear it with the offense.
Right.
I've seen Rojas and Marsh flub so many plays now in center field that, I have to reevaluate all of that. But I do believe Rojas gives you a better chance to make that just
extreme play. Like, he gives you that extra oomph.
He does.
That maybe we'll need.
All right, Devin, which of the two?
Well, I'm going to throw a third option in there just because Dombrowski mentioned it without really being prompted yesterday, and that's Austin Hayes. They just haven't seen a lot from him because he hasn't been healthy.
So then who
in
plays
center field?
No, he would go to right field. Or,
yeah,
sorry,
we're just
right,
talking about, the poll's just about center field.
But center field, I would go Johan Rojas.
See, here's the thing. Here's the way I look at center and left. I'm just going to combine them for a second. I feel like the Phillies have half a hitter. Marsh hits righties. Rojas hits no one.
Can we stitch
Hayes
them together?
Hayes hit no one. I'm telling you guys, I still think the wild card in this scenario, and it doesn't solve center field.
What about bunting? Just learning to bunt better.
But he tried all year.
We've been talking about bunting for so long.
Here's the wild card. Not for center field, but the wild card for the whole picture is Schwarber plays left field. And a good, better hitter is a DH.
But that doesn't solve center field.
Well, Weston Wilson, Cody Clemens, one of those guys.
Weston Wilson really fell off at the end of the year.
I'm just telling you.
And Cody Clemens is left-handed, you know?
All right, James, center field, Rojas or Marsh against a lefty?
I would play Rojas.
Rhea?
I'm going to die on the Johan Rojas hill.
Okay. And you might die.
And I think
I really might. All right. So you can weigh in on that stuff. It's pretty interesting there. 215-592-9494. Let's also get to Nick Sirianni. So we had the Eagles head coach on yesterday. We're going to give you the interview in two different parts here, this segment. The first being right now, the first four questions and answers from this interview. Then later in the hour, we'll get to the remainder of it. We covered a lot. We didn't hold back. We had a lot to talk to Nick Sirianni about. Listen to this, then we'll react together. By the way, Ross Tucker also joins us in the next 10 minutes. Here's Sirianni from yesterday. What we have been hearing the most this week, and that is, and I'm going to be very blunt, and that is your job status. So 24-0 hole early, outgained at one point 254 yards to nothing. Are you feeling the heat ratcheting up on your job status?
No, I'm just worried about getting the team better. I'm just worried about the bye week and putting ourselves in position to win, coming out of the bye week. And then I'll be worried about the Cleveland Browns. You can't worry about any of those different things. Right now we're 2-2, got a lot of football in front of us, and just put my head down and work.
Nick, without going into every detail schematically, which I know you can't say publicly, but how do you get the team out of this? I mean, how do you get them to actually play better football?
Yeah, again, it's always going to start with our fundamentals, and we'll work like crazy on that as far as our tackling, as far as our ball security, as far as taking the football away, our blocking, right, catching. Like, it doesn't matter what level of football you're at. Those things determine games, right? And so those will be things that we'll study this week. Anything that we can do better as far as how we practice it, first and foremost, as coaches, and then what are the common denominators? That's what you use the bye week for. What are the common denominators of what's going on with each individual thing, so we can narrow in on that even more? And so it starts with that, and then, as coaches, we got to put these guys in positions to make plays, and then, we got to go out and execute. So it's everybody's in this together, coaching, playing. Again, just gotta get better throughout this bye week, leading into this next spot, and see what, and dive in more about what our issues are. We got a good idea of what the issues are and what we need to fix. And then it's just, zeroing in on that. As you, every time you go through a bye week, you figure out a little bit more than you even thought you would. So, I'm encouraged to do that, here today and tomorrow and the next day. We grinded on that yesterday after the players left. So this will be a busy week for the coaches.
Nick, going back to last December 3rd, the regular and postseason, the team's record is 3-8. How good is this team?
This team's 2-2. I can't focus on what happened last year. That's behind us. We did the things that we needed to do after that season. And this team's 2-2. Saquon Barkley doesn't care that the Eagles are,
right,
3, and what I'm saying? Like, and neither does Mekhi Becton and all these new guys. Chauncey doesn't concern these guys. This team's 2-2, and we have things to clean up from the 2024 Eagles. That's all we're focused on. I think what I always try to get the guys to concentrate on is like, okay, we're 2-2 right now. We can't go 5-2 after this after the bye week, or 5-2 after this game. You got one game to play, so you can't look too far ahead and say, well, we could, you know, if we win this one, this one, and this one, then we'll be sitting at that. You don't do that, right? You know that, and you know that you have to focus on one game at a time. Well, you know, if you're not looking into the future, you can't look back either. Now, you can fix the problems and work on fixing the problems that have occurred, but to say that, in the past of what happened, and say, hey, we're this, I think that, you know, that's just not productive. We lost the last game. How are we going to win this next game is all our focus is.
So, Nick, let's talk about Jalen. You know, from the offseason, the hope obviously was with Kellen Moore here, a new or at least better version of Jalen emerges, more effective, more secure with the ball, more precise in decision-making. It does not seem that that is happening. Why is that not happening?
You know, he's definitely had good moments, and as a team, we've had good moments. We've had tough moments, right? And so it's just, we're just working for consistency as a football team. You know, I know that everything, you know, is the first thing that's going to be looked at is myself and Jalen, and rightfully so. You know, we're the head coach and the quarterback, and we completely understand that. But we're just looking for consistency throughout the entire team. You know, myself, Jalen, the team included. So that's what we're focused on, is that. And so, again, we've had good moments as a team. Jalen's had good moments, and we've had not as good moments, right, which has led to the two losses. And that's myself, that's Jalen, that's the entire team. And so, again, I think just the best way to answer your question of what you're asking is consistency, but that's consistency through the entire football team.
How do you safeguard against abandoning the run? How do you make sure to call enough runs moving forward?
Yeah, you know, we are a team that is going to run the football, and we want to run the football. We got a guy in Saquon Barkley who is special at running the football. We got special offensive linemen. I think when you look at there's circumstances in each game. I told you guys this, like, we'll do whatever we need to do to win the football game. So if that's run Saquon 50 times, then that's what it is. If it's run him 10 times, that's what it is. In a game, and I'm obviously you're referring to this last game and the carries and the touches that he had. You know, when you go 3-and-out, we went 3-and-out the first three possessions.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching the game in succession, offense, defense, and at one point we had six plays on offense and we were down 21-0. Like your game plan changes there, where you have to make some time up to try to get back into the football game. And so down that many possessions, it changes it a little bit, right? Which lets them pin their ears back a little bit. I get that as well. But also, you know, if you look at those first, I think we, okay, nine plays within the first quarter and a half. Well, in those nine plays, right, you're in third down, three of them. So you're doing whatever you got to do. In third and 10, you're probably not running the football. So, you know, you're trying to do what you need to do to continue the drive. I'm starting with a run every single time. That's just not the way it goes. You know that. And you're trying to get yardage. Like you're trying to get, you know, if you're in second and 10, you might have to pass it again if you pass it on first down. And so the carries are, they got a little bit, like there's no secret. We want to give Saquon the football a lot. He's shown that he's a great football player in this league for a long time. He's had some great moments here. As an Eagle, and we want him to get him the football. The way the game went, limited his touches a little bit this last game because we didn't play good enough offense, defensively, or special teams-wise. And that you got to look at me first and foremost when something like that happens. So the plan is to get him the football because he's a heck of a football player, and we know that when we do that, we'll be able to, you know, have a lot of good moments.
All right, that was Nick Sirianni with us yesterday, the first half of the interview. We'll get to the second half of it coming up in about 15 minutes when we covered more of the off-the-field issues which have arisen in the last couple days. It's been kind of messy with Darius Slay and Gardner Johnson and a couple weird Devin White. You'll hear that the second half coming up in 15 minutes. Ross Tucker, by the way, joins us in about 2 minutes. Let's also get, John, I said earlier, we got Joe Conklin Cougar or Joe Coogan Conklin or what?
John Cougar Conklin?
John Cougar Conklin. How about that? How about Joe Conklin as John Cougar Mellencamp?
Like, we need to reevaluate Jalen Hurts and, quite frankly, this entire team.
You're right, Merle. Maybe they just ain't that good.
We thought this was a good team, but they don't make many good team plays.
True that.
They stink. Smell the odor, so much odor. I long for those Super Bowl days with a coach like Nick.
Sirianni is overmatched.
This team's up a creek.
Hurts looks lost.
So many things that Hurts can't do, baby. And you know it's true. This team, this quarterback, they ain't that good.
They overvaluated their talent.
Tell us howie, they just ain't that good. And Sirianni don't coach like he should. Well, they just ain't that good.
Hurts insists on holding on to the football.
Except when he's turning it over to the other team.
Shame we gave him that big deal. Hurts has taken our team south. Need someone better at the wheel. Hurts turns the ball over all day long. Defense missing tackles all day long. Woo! They ain't that good. Tell Howie they just ain't that good. And Sirianni don't coach like he should. Well, they just ain't that good.
Look, wonderful work by Conklin. Let me put this out there. Let's hope that we're wrong, or at least those of us to think that. We had a poll result yesterday. The end of the show, are the Eagles going to make the playoffs? 61% of people said no. Let's hope we're wrong. I mean, we'll sit back, we'll watch, we'll evaluate, we'll determine as things go. Well, no, they'll determine ultimately as things go on, and we'll see. But so far, they certainly have not been that good. They can play better. I'm not sure how much better realistically they can play with the defensive personnel, but certainly they can get to the playoffs. They can. It's not like they can't. So, wonderful work by Conklin, obviously summing up at least the first four games and how a lot of people think. See Conklin, because, man, is he awesome. City Rhythm Orchestra at Cherokee High School on Saturday, October 26th, and also at the Media Theater on State Street in Media on Saturday, November 16th. It is the story of Philly sports through music. Get tickets at joeconklin.com.
And, of course, it's Conklin's Comedy Night in 360 at Parks Casino this Thursday, October 3rd. See Joey Vega from Comedy on the Road. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20 and include a free drink. Tickets at joeconklin.com.
All right, second portion of that Sirianni interview coming up in about 10 minutes. In many ways, I actually thought it was more interesting in the back half of the interview, so you'll hear that shortly. Also, speaking of hair things, tomorrow, this time, Jason Kelce on the show. Kelce, 7:30 to 8:30 tomorrow, as he is every Thursday. And also Rob Thompson on the show tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I mean, we got the Eagles, and we got the Phillies, and we got a lot going on. So it's a beautiful thing. Obviously, Sixers and Flyers soon to start their seasons. All right, let's talk to Ross Tucker. He joins us every single Wednesday at this time. Of course, we love talking to Ross. You can follow his work with the CBS Ross Report, and he joins us right now. Good morning, Ross.
What's up, guys? How are
you? Man, quite a bit, Ross. So, man, where to start? Let's just start with this. Are they what we've seen? Or do you think are they what we've seen? That's the question.
If you mean by that, are they inconsistent?
Inconsistent and average.
I don't think they're average. No, I don't think they're average. I think if you look at who they've played so far and who they've had, let me ask you this. If you knew the injuries that they would have,
yeah,
what record would you have thought through the first four games?
Probably 2-2, but I don't like the way it looks.
Well, that's fair. Mm-hmm. I would have said 3-1, maybe 2-2. If you would have told me they would play a game without Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, and Lane, I would have said, yeah, good luck. Right? I mean, that would have been my reaction.
Sure. That's fair.
However, and this is important, none of those guys play on defense.
Yeah.
That's to me, by far the two biggest issues are the defense and Hurts' turnovers.
Totally.
I can't say they're average, Joe, because I'm sitting here And I'm saying they have a top five offensive line in the NFL. They have a top five receiving duo. They have a top five tight end. They definitely have a top five running back. Interestingly, I don't think they do have a top five quarterback. I'm not sure where Hurts is. I don't think he's top five. I'm not sure he's top 10 right now. That would be an interesting discussion. But my point is, I can't say they're average when they are elite at that many positions, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Here's the problem. If you're elite at that many positions on the offensive side of the ball, how are you not scoring any points in the first quarter so that you can play with a lead, because the defense is built to play with lead? Because here's the other thing, too. The secondary, I'm okay with their safeties. I'm okay with their corners. Now, they got to get better at nickel, but I'm okay with Slay and Quinion on the outside. The linebackers have been very inconsistent, and that's been a major issue. Bond was bad against the Falcons. They lost the game. Dean was bad on Sunday. They lost the game. So the linebackers are maybe what we thought they'd be in terms of up and down. Probably the thing that's most concerning on the team is Hurts' turnovers and the inconsistency of the front seven, in particular the defensive line. Because that's, you know, the linebackers, they haven't really put much into. So we shouldn't have high hopes for those guys. They have invested. The organizational philosophy is quarterback, O-line, D-line. They've invested a tremendous amount of resources in the defensive line, and I think those guys have really done some positive things in the two wins, and they haven't done nearly enough in the two losses. If you're looking to point at something, it's probably that.
So, Ross, you brought up an interesting point. We haven't scored early this season. The point in four games this year, the first 15, you and I know, like, I would look forward to finding out those first 15 plays on Saturday night, because I knew they were going to work, and I knew it was going to be exciting, and I knew it was going to be like we'd get a great feel for what the defense was going to be trying to do. But, man, these first 15 continually fail for the Eagles. Why is that? Is it more the planning of the coaches or the performance of the players?
No, honestly, I mean, if you go back 2 years ago, I felt like with Steichen, they scored a touchdown or a field goal on every first. That
clockwork.
Season, you know, there's stats out there about how much a team has had a lead this season, play with a lead or played from behind. That year, the Eagles by far played with a lead the most in the NFL. This year, you can check me on this, but I think they're bottom five. I think they're bottom five, definitely bottom 10 in terms of how much of the game time they've had a lead. It's hard to not say that it's not just Kellen Moore, but I think Sirianni would be the first one to tell you, and I was listening to your interview with him. He'd be the first one to tell you, it's not okay. You can't have three and outs to start the game. Because here's the deal, right? They spend the whole week watching the Bucs defense or whatever team they're going against and saying, this is our plan. These are our best plays. This is how we get off to a good start. And they're 0 for 4. They're 0 for 4 coming up with a good plan to start these games. It's a reflection on it. Like, look, the players have to play, Joe, but that is and I think they would admit this, that's a decent reflection on the coaching staff.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Ross. This is an eye test thing, this comment. I don't have facts in front of me, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. I don't think Jalen looks to run as often in the first quarter as he does in the second half when it starts becoming a little bit more desperate. You know, time and circumstances and being down. I think he's got to cut it loose earlier in the game. I think they require it. Let's put it this way. Particularly when AJ and Devontae are not in the game. I mean,
no doubt.
You know, like you only
they need to run. Maybe it's him. It's Saquon. Right. But running is required.
I mean, you only get 9 to 12 possessions of football games, so you can't just, you know, flub two or three or four of them out of the gate and think I'll get with it in the second half. I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. All right, let's go to the phones. So Ross is with us again. More from Sirianni yesterday. Some really interesting stuff coming up shortly. Plus an apology from an Eagle yesterday. We'll get to that shortly as well.